couple of questions that I'd like to propose to you as we look here. How do you know you are saved? If I was to ask you, you'd probably say, yes, I am. All right, the question is, how do you know you are saved? So for your own peace of mind, you should be able to answer certain questions. If you can't answer these questions, then how do you know you are saved? And so I have a question. If I am saved today and lost tomorrow, why does God not take me home today? Look up here. If I say I am saved today, but I can do something wrong and be lost tomorrow, if God is God, and He is, and He knows the future, and He has saved me today, and He knows that I'm saved today, but He knows I'm going to be lost tomorrow, why wouldn't God just take me home today? See, most people can't figure this out. Another way of looking at it, isn't it true that the longer I live, that if I could lose my salvation in the future, the longer I live, isn't it true there's a greater potential of me losing it? The longer I live, the potential of me losing my salvation has greatly increased. So the most important thing is me going to heaven. So I would recommend that God take me home the very moment I trust Him as my Savior, so that I go to heaven. Why risk it and could go to hell in the future? You see, there's something wrong with that logic. It is this reason. Because if God saves me today, I am still saved tomorrow, and that I cannot lose it. For example, we have a child over here, and we have an old man of 80 years old over here, Al Marshall. We have an older man. Oh, he's 83. Anyway, old man over here. But let's say, for example, when is the best time for a person to get saved? Do we say, well, you get saved while you're young? But if you could lose your salvation, if he waited until he's Al Marshall's age and gets saved, he has a less time to lose his salvation. So there's a greater potential he might go to heaven. But he might die any time in between. So you see, there's no advantage unless it's forever. Question, are you saved? Question, when were you saved? Do you know when you were saved? I remember years ago I heard a man sing a song in 1962. He got up and he sung a song. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. That's how I know I was saved. I was there when it happened. Great. What happened? Well, I was there. So you can testify for yourself that you are saved. But do you have any other proof of your salvation besides you? Oh, well, my mom was there. My mom will vouch for me. My dad, he'll vouch for me. Well, the preacher remembers when I walked down the aisle. Uh-huh. You see, your security of your personal salvation should be so rock solid, that nothing can ever shake you from it. Because that's where your peace of mind comes from, is you know in whom you have believed and are persuaded that He is able to keep that which you have committed unto Him against that day. Question, how do you know that you did the right thing? I've had a lot of people say, well, I'm saved, and I find out what they did. And what they did wasn't what you have to do to get saved. Is it possible that people can live their whole lives thinking that they're saved and not be saved? Yes, I'm afraid they are. Is there anything else to do since then? Well, since the day, whatever it was, you got to say, is there anything else that you have to do to stay saved? Well, if there is, did you do it? All of it. Have you failed? If you know that you're saved, can you know when you're lost again? If you can't go by feelings, what do you go by? Well, today, boy, I know I'm saved. I feel it. Okay. What about tomorrow when you don't feel it? See, your salvation has to rest upon something more solid than all of that. Next question. What were you saved from? You say, I've been saved from what? Well, I'm just saved. You know, saved. From what? You see, you have to be going somewhere or something was going to happen to you in order to save you from something. So we know that there is a heaven and there is a hell. So I have been saved from hell. It means that I can't go there. If I can go there, I'm not saved from it. So I am saved from hell. Well, what are you saved to? Well, I'm saved to heaven. To an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for me. Because I believe. So I've been saved from something to something. And that can't be changed, can't not be altered. I like that. Next question, are you saved or are you trying to be saved? The two different things. Are you saved or are you trying to be saved? Good question. Next question, can you ever by any means become unsaved? So I'm saved. Is there anything you can do to become unsaved and still go to hell in the future? See, then you don't really understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet there's a lot of people who talk about the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. I've heard preachers on the radio talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then I listen to them and that's not the gospel. It's not even close. That has no relationship to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is a particular message on how that a heathen can be justified by faith without works. That's good news. Who beside you can vouch for you? But let me tell you this. The day I got saved, 51 years ago in a little old living room in Athens, Georgia, somebody else was there with me. Let me tell you about him. It's very important. He will vouch for me. I've got somebody that vouches for me. You see, the Bible says if we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. So if everybody in this church thinks Peter Amato is saved, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans what you think. It's what God knows. Are you saved? It doesn't matter if your family thinks you are. Are you saved? I want you to take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. And notice there in John in chapter 7. John chapter 7. And look there in verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And get the next verse. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. So, if you believe, you receive. If you believe, you will receive not only the gift of eternal life, but you receive the Holy Spirit. And believe it or not, the greatest witness will be the Holy Spirit. And I'll explain that in a minute. So how can the Holy Spirit be my security? Because I can't see the Holy Spirit. I can't feel the Holy Spirit. So how does that help me to have a peace of mind that I know I'm saved? I'm not through yet. I just asked a lot of questions. Stimulate your mind. Think a little bit. But don't you believe that if there is a heaven and if there is a hell, you ought to know for sure where you're going when you die. If that's true. It is true and you can know for sure. But know this, that they which believe should receive the Holy Spirit. Now, look in Romans in chapter 8. The book of Romans in chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and I want you to look there in verse 9. In verse 9. He says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if," see that word if, "so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So nothing else matters. If you do not have the Holy Spirit living within you, he says you're not of his. You're not of God. So there has to be a time. And we know that not all lost people or all the people in the world have the Holy Spirit. So there has to be a time when you receive the Holy Spirit. Because when you receive the Holy Spirit is when you got saved. So if you are saved, you have the Holy Spirit. Now, do you have the Holy Spirit? And how do I know that I'm saved? Because how do I know I've got the Holy Spirit? When you can't see Him, and you can't touch Him. So how do you know? Interesting, isn't it? Here in the book of Romans, it goes a little bit further. And it makes a statement in verse 14. That when you trust Christ as your Savior and the Holy Spirit that lives within you, if He leads you and guides you, which is what He is there for, and to teach us, He is the great comforter. It says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons or the maturing sons of God." You see, the Holy Spirit that lives within you is why it's called a spiritual birth. You were born by the Spirit of God because you received and believed the incorruptible Word of God. So you were born into God's family. You have been born again. A spiritual birth. That which is of the flesh is flesh. That's your first birth. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's your second birth. It says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." So if you've never been born again, that means you do not have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to the Lord. And you're not a child of God. So it's not something you can just think about, hear about. There has to be a conscious decision somewhere along the line that you deliberately believed something. You cannot maybe remember every moment in the detail or even the exact moment, but you know there was a time for your own peace of mind. I believe that. And when you're not sure that you ever have, when do you think would be a good time to do that? Right now. Even while I'm talking, I wouldn't want to waste another second with the possibility that I could spend an eternity separated from God in a literal fire-burning hell that God wants to save me from. So look there in verse 16. Excuse me, in verse 15. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but," and you ought to underline these words, "ye have," past tense, "received," past tense, "have received the Spirit." So if you have believed, you have received. So you see, the receiving of the Holy Spirit is because you believed something. You believed something. And you got to believe the right thing. The Word of God tells us that Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And the Bible says the Holy Spirit is to teach us all truth and to lead us into all truth. So He's to be a witness of truth. And notice what He says here in verse 16. In verse 16, it makes the statement, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." So how do I know that I'm a child of God? Well, His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. That's interesting. I can't see my spirit, and I can't feel my spirit, and I can't see Him, the Holy Spirit, and I can't touch or feel the Holy Spirit. So I hope those two got it right. But how do I know? Because you see, you were spiritually dead, severed from the life of God. So whenever the Holy Spirit quickens your spirit and makes you spiritually alive, it'll be forever. It is the body that causes us to be world conscious. It is the soul that causes us to be self-conscious. And it is the spirit in man that helps him to see that he's God-conscious. So not only am I God-conscious, I can communicate with God through my spirit. And the Bible tells us that God must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. So you and I have a spirit, and His spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. Okay, that's interesting so far. How does He do that? Remember, the Word of God was written by men as they were moved or guided along by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the author of the Word of God. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God that authored the Word of God lives within us. So the Holy Spirit living within us is to teach us the Word of God, so that our confidence comes from the Word of God. So His Spirit will bear witness with my spirit through the written Word of God that I know, that I know, that I know that I'm saved. How do I know I'm saved? Because the Word of God says I'm saved. The Word says so. And I could say, God says I am. You see, God was there when it happened. If God is God, and He is, and we studied the other day in the book of Acts 15 about people who had heard the gospel and received the Holy Spirit. The only way they can receive the Holy Spirit is because God knows the heart and knows they believed, because those that believed would receive, and they did. And it was the only requirement, because they received it the moment they believed it. So it means that they're saved at the moment of belief. And they had not yet lived any life. In no way, shape, or form. And yet they were saved. And that's why Paul says, we shall be saved, or Peter made the statement, even as they are saved by faith, grace alone, in Christ alone. So here he makes the statement in verse 16. You ought to underline this verse. It's a wonderful verse. The Spirit Himself or itself bears witness with our spirit that we are, present tense, right now, are the children of God. Because we are the children of God, we have received the Holy Spirit. Now look there in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1. The book of Ephesians and chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and look in verse 13. Verse 13 says, in whom ye also trusted, because it goes back to verse 12. Verse 12 says that ye should be to the praise of His glory, who first, what did you do? Trusted. You see, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, because you heard or believed that He died and paid for all of your sins, and you believed that, you're trusting Him as your Savior. So then verse 13 is written to those who trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of salvation, you heard it, you believed it, you trusted Him. In other words, I am depending upon what He said and what He did was for me. I believed that. And notice what it says, that when you believed that, in whom also after that ye believed, or the moment you believed, having believed, you were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit that He had promised. So, what did you do? Well, I heard the gospel. I believed it. I trusted Christ as my Savior. And the moment you believed it, you received not only the free gift of eternal life, you received the Holy Spirit of God. And you became a child of God. Your confidence that you're saved should not be because, well, I changed my life. Well, I joined the church. Well, I sing in the choir. I became a deacon. That has absolutely nothing to do with your salvation. And if you think so, you don't get it. You see, when I say I was saved 51 years ago, where in that little old living room, that's the day I got saved. That's where I was. This is what happened to me. It never happens again. You have never been saved twice. Impossible. I talked to one man one time. I says, have you been born again? He says, yes. I said, well, wonderful, great. I says, when? He says, oh, many times. He believed in reincarnation. Oh. So there's a lot of people who really don't understand. When you get saved and He saves you from hell, He gives you eternal life. He can't give you eternal life twice. He can't save you from hell twice. Why? Because it's appointed unto every man once to die. Man don't go to hell twice, he only goes once. But if Christ died for him, He saves him and only has to save him once. Because you see, He paid for all of his sins. Not some of them or most of them or up to the time he believed. He paid for all of them 2,000 years ago. Never has to be done again. Such a simple thing. But look in the last part of verse 13 again. He says, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. You are in His hands, and no man can pluck you out of His hand. You're safe. You're secure. That's salvation. Now, take your Bible and look at the other scripture. One that we know that He is the Spirit of truth. And He bears witness with our spirit. What would He tell me? The truth. He can't tell me a lie. He can only tell me the truth. And the Holy Spirit tells us what's in the Word of God. He manifests the Son of God. He reveals the Son of God. The Holy Spirit is not about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's all about Christ. Look in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John and chapter 5. You've seen some of these verses many a time. But it won't hurt to look at them one more time. In 1 John chapter 5, I want you to know that there's things that God says that bear witness of something. So just very quickly, look there in verse 5. Of 1 John chapter 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And, get this, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is what? Truth. Truth bears witness with my spirit. And what is the truth? What did God say? You should always base your beliefs upon a foundation that will not change. The solid rock, the Word of God. You see, what I believed 51 years ago, 51 years later, it hasn't changed. This book doesn't change. It's rock solid. And it has given me the stability of my soul. And I have great peace of mind. I never question, never doubt my salvation. Because I know what God said. And that means more to me than anything else in the world. My pastor that was up there has come and gone. A lot of my relatives have come and gone. The guy who led me to the Lord is dead and gone. But there was somebody else that was there that night. And he bears witness to the truth. He knows I believed. And the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And He has revealed His word. It is the truth. Look what He says there in verse 7. And there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. There are three that bear witness in earth, the blood, or the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Then He makes an awesome statement. If we can receive the witness of men, and I asked him not long ago, I says, anybody here ever been to Russia? Nobody had been to Russia. I said, how many believe there is a Russia? Everybody. I said, why do you believe in something? You've never been there. You haven't seen it. Oh, you know what somebody told you. Did you know that there's still people today that never have accepted the idea that man has actually walked on the moon? They think it was all done in the studio. Never really happened. But I'll be honest with you. I believe man did walk on the moon. I believe that they have put things in space. I believe a lot of it, but a lot of it I can't prove, but I believe it. If we can receive the witness of man, what man says, and that's why in today at a court of law we have to have witnesses. Somebody to testify. Somebody to speak up about your character. Somebody just gave me a piece of paper the other day. Says, would you kind of give a reference for me on my character? I said, yeah, you're quite a character. But to witness, to say something about somebody as though it's got some validity to it. But did you know the greatest witness in all the world is the Lord? And look what he says. The witness of God is greater. And the witness of God is the Holy Spirit that you have received. Look in verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness where? In himself. In other words, somebody who witnesses to me, testifies to me, tells me something, and he only tells me the truth. But he witnesses with my spirit through the Word of God. So as I read the Word of God and I study it, and did you know the verse that helped me more than any other verse in the whole Bible to know that I really have eternal life was 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. You have no idea how many times Mr. Jackson had to read that verse to me. I'd love to say I never had a question or a doubt, but I did. Many a time I wondered, am I really saved? Lord, if I really didn't mean it the other day, I really mean it now. I did it every day. To my father and says, Yankee, what did God say? I know, but, well, I really believed it. I believe it. But I was still, because I'm human. And I didn't have all my confidence in the Bible. I didn't know the Bible. But, buddy, when he started showing me that verse in John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath, present tense, right now, hath everlasting life. And, buddy, it started to give me such wonderful peace. Because see, if you don't get grounded in the Word of God, did you know the devil can come along and lie to you and tell you, you're not really saved? I mean, if you were really saved, you wouldn't be smoking. You wouldn't want to drink. You wouldn't want to go out here and sin. That's a sign you're not really saved. You don't want to go to church, do you? You don't read your Bible. You don't pray. That's a sign you're not saved. I guess I'm not saved. You see, it's because you believed a lie. Peace of mind comes from believing the truth. And look what he said. In verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he doesn't believe what God said. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. So there is a record that God gave that we are to believe, and if we will believe it, the Holy Spirit of God will bear witness with our spirit. This is true, and I believe it. So therefore, according to what God says, I am saved. How do you know? The Word of God says I'm saved. He said, if I believe it, I'm saved. I believe it, then I'm saved. Can you believe the Word of God? So the Holy Spirit within you is to help you see and understand what God's Word says. So your feelings is not what determines whether I know I'm saved. No, I know I'm saved because the Holy Spirit tells me from God's Word, this is what God said, and I believe what God says. Look what he says there in verse 11. This is the record that God hath given, past tense, to us, those that believe. What did he give us? Eternal life. And this life is where? In the church? Ten Commandments? Living a good life? It's in his Son. So when you accept the Son, you have eternal life. And if it's eternal life, how long would it last? Well, it lasts forever. And if it lasts forever and all of your sins are paid, then where would you go when you die? You'd get to go to heaven whenever you die. Most important thing in all the world. So the Holy Spirit witnesses with us through the truth of the Word of God. Now look what he says there in verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Now I want you to focus upon that word up there, written. These things have I written. Written. You see, what's so important about that? It's because, you see, the witness that we have is the Holy Spirit that wants us to believe what is written, so that your confidence comes from the written Word of God. Not because you have a feel or a chill or a thrill or a spill. It's all because of what does the Word of God say. These things have I written unto you. Not these things have I let you feel and experience so that you'll know. No, he says, I wrote you something. And what I wrote is how you're to know that you're saved. So that you don't trust somebody, some act. It's only because you believed that what Christ did, he did it for you. And you're trusting him. From Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. That you believe that he died and paid for all of your sins, and you'll go to heaven on what Christ did for you. And that's how you can know positively that you're saved. Take your Bible and turn there to the book of 1 John in chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, and notice what he says here. In verse 1, he says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed. Is hath bestowed past tense? I don't think it's future tense. It looks like it says hath bestowed. It's already done. Not going to. I am a child of God. Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. So, how do I know I'm a son of God? He said so. I don't need anything else as proof. I don't need anybody else to try to convince me of anything else. God said. Look at the next verse. In verse 2 he says, Beloved, and I want you to take that word now and circle it. Now are we the sons of God. Now if I am now a child of God, and if I could lose my salvation in the future, then I would not be a child of God. Then at the last day, as he said, some will stand at the door and knock and say, Have we not prophesied in thy name and cast out devils in thy name and done many wonderful works? But not one time did they say, We've trusted Christ as our Savior. They only talked about what they've done. And Jesus says, Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Now that you were a child of God at one time, then he would know us. But then if you could not be a child of God, then he doesn't know you as his child. But he can't say, I never knew you if you ever were. So you can't get saved and then get lost. The only people who go to hell are those that are not a child of God. And once you are a child of God, God makes us a promise. Look at this awesome promise. Right here in this wonderful verse, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Shall be, that's future. But get this. But we know that when he shall appear, here's a promise, we shall be like him. It did not say, if we hang on to the end and endure to the end, and if we can make it without losing our salvation, we'll be like him someday. No, the only condition here is when he shall appear. I'm going to be just like him. I am now a child of God, the promise. I am. That's a definite statement. That's the truth. That's what I am, a child of God. And when he shall appear, I shall be just like him. I won't have no sinful nature like I do right now. I'll be just as perfect and righteous as he is without a flesh nature. In God's eyes, my spiritual birth is as perfect and as righteous as the Lord. But one day I'll be just like him. That's a promise. Who is the promise to? Those that are now a child of God. So if I am now a child of God and he promises me that when he shall appear, I shall be just like him. That can't be changed. That can't be altered. He can't change his mind. See, the word of God is truth. And you and I can have great peace of mind when we can take God at his word. But did you know that as a child of God, there are many promises in the word of God? Precious, precious promises. That you and I are supposed to know, believe, claim, but we forfeit because we don't read the Word of God or believe what He wrote. That's why it should behoove every child of God, study the written Word. Put the Word of God into your mind. Believe that it is true. His Spirit bears witness with my spirit through the word of God about that which is written, to believe it. And then I can know that what God says is true. And I know that I know that I know that I know that I know. Do you know that you know? I know I have eternal life. Are you saved? How many of you know positively beyond a shadow of doubt? You know that you are saved and you're going to heaven when you die. Let me see your hand. Put your hand down. How many know you're going to hell? No, that's all right. See, you don't have to hope and to guess. You can say, I know. Boy, that's a good news. I love that. Let me show you something. Never seen this before. This hand represent you and me. The wallet represents all the things that we do that's sinful. You and I have all sinned, but God loves us. Now He hates our sin, but He loves us. So yes, God loves you in spite of everything that you've ever done. And it doesn't matter how bad you have been. It doesn't even matter how bad you're going to be. God so loved the world, He hates our sin. And to pay for that is eternal separation from God in a place called hell. But God loves us and wants us to go to heaven. And to go to heaven, we have to be perfect, as righteous as God, and none of us are. We've all come short of God's perfection, of God's righteousness. I had somebody that really did me something wonderful. Well, it's kind of a mixed emotions. You know, sometimes I like to play the game of golf. Y'all didn't know that? I thought I'd tell you that. Confession is good for the soul. I was playing golf with a guy one day, and he missed the ball. Well, he didn't miss the ball. He missed the cup on the putting green. I said, that's harmatano. He looked at me. I said, means you missed the mark. Well, later on I talked to him. I just got something wonderful for my birthday. Two big boxes of golf balls. And on the golf ball, every one of them had stamped Yankee Arnold, Harmatano. Every golf ball, Yankee Arnold. So now, when they find that golf ball in the woods, they'll know this is one of them. They'll know every one of my sins. Gary Steffen did that to me. He thought it was funny. But I like those golf balls. The Bible says that you and I, we can't do good works to pay for all these sins. That's why we needed a Savior. You see, this hand represents Jesus Christ. He's the Lord God in the flesh. He came into the world because He loves us. He hates what we do wrong, because what we do wrong separates us from the Lord, called sin. So Jesus Christ, who had no sin, didn't have to die. But He took all the sins upon Himself, paid for everything all mankind has ever done. So that anybody in the world at any given time can say, I believe He did that for me. And if you will believe, you will receive. That's His promise. If you'll believe it, you'll receive it. You will receive the forgiveness of sins. You will receive the gift of eternal life. And you receive the Holy Spirit, God Himself that lives within you. And He wants to teach you His word. These things have I written unto you that believe, that you may know you have eternal life. Let's pray, shall we? With every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around. Friend, would you right now just talk to the Lord? See, the Lord knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows what you've done. He knows everything about you. And He loves you anyway. He said, if you would believe that what He did was for you, you would receive the free gift of eternal life. Would you believe it? It's not by works of righteousness. It's a gift. Totally by grace. Would you accept it? If you will accept Jesus Christ right now as your Savior, you can join with the rest of these that were here this morning and indicated just a moment ago by an upraised hand that they know they're saved. They know they have eternal life. Maybe you couldn't raise your hand honestly. But you see, I'd like to. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. So friend, right now in the quietness of this moment, just between you and the Lord, would you talk to Him? Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Friend, we all are. Lord, I believe You died for me, and I'm trusting You as my Savior, my only hope of going to heaven. And friend, if you're making that decision, I'd like to have prayer for you, and I'm going to ask you in just a moment to raise your hand. Raising your hand doesn't save you. Just let me know that what I said made sense to you. And I'd like to have prayer for you. I really would. I'd like to know if what I said made sense. So would you trust the Lord? If you will, would you slip your hand up very quickly and put it right back down? Zero and all. Him and all. If you've already trusted Christ as your Savior, you don't have to do it. But if you've never trusted the Lord, why not right now say, Lord, I believe. I believe. Our Father, we thank You so much for all You've done for us, for the privilege we have of coming together as a body of believers, and Father, to have our confidence, our assurance, our peace of mind, because we believe what You said, what You wrote in Your Word.